be there. I'll have said goodbye to the sweet hour of prayer, but I want that song sung at my funeral. So if you're there, make sure it is. Amen. And hopefully it won't be for a while. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 20. And we're going to look at this morning a cleanser. Again, as we continue the series in the blessings of salvation, we've looked at many of the different blessings of salvation, the different aspects of the suffering of Christ and what it has accomplished for us. We've looked at the end of the law. We've looked at our propitiation. We've looked at our redemption. We've looked at our sanctification. We've looked at many different aspects of the law, of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the one that we're going to look at this morning, I think, to me anyways, is one of the most wonderful and glorious blessings of salvation. Amen? And it is the cleansing of sin in our lives. We sing, the cleansing stream I see, I plunge, and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord, it cleanseth me. Yes, cleanseth me. And I just want to say this morning. You might be saying, Pastor, you know, I've heard other preachers get up and quote from the hymn books, but they're usually singing it, and I notice that you never sing it. You just say it. And I just want to say this. Be glad that I'm just saying it, okay? Well, at least he's in trouble and not you. Amen. We need cleansing. And sin in the Bible is often likened to dirt. You know, when we're out working in a hot day and we're out, maybe we're doing some work outside, or maybe we're working in construction or working on the car or doing something. You're working, you're out, you're gardening, whatever it is, and you're dirty and you're sweaty and you're just feeling grimy and horrible. And I know when Kyle gets home from work, he says, Mom, I hope dinner's not ready when I get home from work. And I'm kind of hoping it is, but I want to go have a shower before I come to the table. And I'm all actually amens for that. Amen. And it's true. We're working. We've had a hard day. We're grimy. There's dirt all over us. We've got filth and grease and grime all over our bodies. And we get into the shower. Amen. And you get that bar of soap and you scrub yourself clean and you get out of the shower and you put on some clean clothes and you go downstairs and you sit down and you're like, oh man, this is better. Amen. And you're saying, well, you know, I don't know. I've never experienced that. Well, we know who you are. We're praying for you. And the joy that comes with cleansing. You know, in the Bible, there are many people that we see talking about the analogy of being washed from sin. David, King David, we know in the Bible, King David was a man of God. He was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't a perfect man. He was a sinful man. In fact, he committed adultery and he committed murder. And the Bible says that he took this woman who was another man's wife and then he killed the husband. And then God kind of slapped him around a little bit and said, hey, look what you've done. You've gone to the point of murder. And David fell to his knees, and David realized that he was filthy with the stains of sin. And the Bible says that David called out and said, God, cleanse me, wash me from my sins. And then there was John the Baptist, the preacher of righteousness, the preacher of repentance, whose message was wash, and be cleansed from sin. And then there was the towel-draped Jesus as he talked to Peter. And Jesus said to him, unless I wash you, you have no part in me. Jesus Christ has cleansed us. Jesus Christ has cleansed us from the stains and the filth of the sin. that the Bible says so easily besets us. Let's pray together before we get into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that come with salvation, and as we think about the cleansing that you've given us, that precious fountain filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins. And unless we are washed beneath that cleansing fountain, we will stand before God with our sins ever before us. And so, Father, tonight I pray that, or this morning, sorry, I pray if there's somebody here that has never been cleansed, that they would see the need of that wonderful cleansing that Jesus Christ has come to give us. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for your blessings and ask your guidance and conviction this day. And we'll praise you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was thinking of illustrations about when as a child, or maybe should I say as an adult, when I was really, really dirty, when I really got filthy, it took me a long time to pick one because there are many. Amen. But I remember one of my earliest memories, actually, when we lived on Carmen Crescent in London, they were doing construction behind our house. And they had all kinds of things back there. They had the big, you know, excavators, and they had bulldozers, and they had cement trucks. And this one particular day, when all of the workers had left for the day, they had left the cement truck there. So me and one of the neighbor kids decided it would be a lot of fun to go play in the back of the cement truck. And I mean in the back of the cement truck, not in the cab. We ended up climbing up the chute, the cement chute, and we couldn't get right in. I don't remember at least going right in, but I remember we were hanging around. We were up top in the thing, hanging around where the cement comes out. And when we got down off of there, I just remember that we were covered in cement head to toe. We were like, and then, of course, you know, it doesn't bother kids. I mean, kids get dirty and they just, you know, kids are like, we're like magnets. Their kids are magnets to filth, right? Especially boys. And so we saw no need to go home. I mean, we could still see and we could still breathe. So we were okay. So we spent the next couple hours playing around, and we everything in the world stuck to our cement. So we had sticks, cats, small boys. We had all kinds. We were walking. We had everything stuck to us. And then by the time we got home, it was starting. The cement started. It was hardening. And so my mom just about flipped her wig. She didn't have a wig, but if she did, she would have flipped it. And so she come out screaming, "What have you done?" And I said, "What happened?" And she said, "Look at yourself." I said, "Well, I guess I'm in a mess." So my mom got the chisel out and hammer, and she got the pressure washer. She had no pressure washer, but and the bottom line is, not only did it take a long time to clean my hair and clean everything, my shoes. I think we ended up having to throw my shoes in the garbage. And some of my clothing, it was ruined. It had to go in the garbage. There was nothing could be done about it. But my mom asked me where we were to get all covered in cement. And all the moms right now are going, "You know what? I don't know if I like what I'm about to hear." I said, "Mom, we climbed up into the back of a cement truck." And so we, Rachel, I saw her go, "Oh, my son better not ever do that." And so my mom was concerned. First of all, she was concerned about her safety. She says, "I'm just glad you didn't get killed." And I said, "How come?" She says, "So I can do it." Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And so she wasn't thrilled. She was glad we were okay, but she wasn't just content that we were okay. She wasn't happy. She wanted to clean us up. She wanted to clean me up. She wanted to get me back so I could go into the house. You know, I wasn't going into the house in the state that I was in. So my mom cleaned me, and she spent a long time trying to get all of the cement out of my ears and out of my hair and out of my clothing and getting me new clothing to wear. And it was quite a process to clean me up. And as I think back, that is probably the biggest mess that I've ever been in. And I, by the way, I was kidding about the cat and the small children and all that, but there was stuff stuck to us, dirt and sticks and all kinds of stuff. We were a mess, an absolute mess. And so my mom tried real hard. She worked real hard to cleanse us and to clean us. And you know, when we think about that situation and you think about a little guy like that, and you know, I remember my mom saying, you know, Dennis the Menace doesn't hold a candle to you sometimes. And so that's a lot like, and I want you to hear this illustration. That is a lot like our lives and sin. You know, the Bible likens the sin of our life to the filth that we pick up every day. And, you know, some of us are really dirty, and there's some people that aren't bad, but no matter what, we as we walk through life, as we go through our lives, the Bible says we become contaminated with sin. And every one of us needs to be clean. Every one of us needs to be cleansed, and we need to be washed. And the only thing that's going to get the stain of sin off of our bodies and out of our lives isn't a hammer and chisel. It's not a pressure washer. It's not a garden hose. It's not brush and dettol. It's not a scrub brush. It's only by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there in Acts 20 and verse 21, the Bible says, oh, I'm sorry. let's turn to another verse. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John, I want to look at that verse later. 1 John 1 and verse 7. And the Bible says there, but if we walk in the light, He is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The sad fact of the matter is that many Christians and many professing Christians are walking through this world and we're pretty filthy, we're pretty dirty, we're walking around with a lot of the contamination of the world on us, and it doesn't seem to bother us. There's a lot of things in life I cannot figure out. And I don't know if I ever will. But one thing I can never figure out, well, let me tell you this first. We had a golden doodle. Now, if you're wondering what a golden doodle is, it's a cross between a golden retriever and a poodle. So, it had a big, it like had an afro. It was fuzzy, fluffy, it had a lot of hair. That dog, we lived in the country, just outside of Tillsonburg. And we had a woods right behind our house. And that dog would run through the woods. And he'd come back. And he would have half the woods with him. And he would have, his paws would be all wet and muddy, all the way up his legs. And he would have sticks and branches and all kinds of stuff. And then we would be sitting there and we would watch a cat run out of the woods. The same woods, the same dirt, the same sticks, the same. And that cat wouldn't have a thing on him. Did anybody figure that one out? How a cat can run through the same woods as a dog, and the cat comes out clean, the dog comes out with the woods. Life is like that. We walk through life. Some of us pick up a lot of filth. A lot of us pick up a lot of the garbage of the world. And others, we can walk around and we can be clean, we can be spotless, and we can be usable for God's purpose. We've all heard of the Gallup poll. Most of us have heard of the Gallup poll. And he wrote an article called Vital Signs after he did a lot of polling and looking into the life of the religious. And he said this in the book. He said, there's little difference in ethical behavior between churched and the unchurched. There is as much pilferage and dishonesty amongst the church as the unchurched. And I am afraid that applies pretty much across the board. Religion, per se, is not really life-changing. People cite it as important, for instance, in overcoming depression, but it doesn't have any primacy in determining behavior. End of quote. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine." The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And if we were to read it a little further in Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 27 to 30, it talks about the fact that every single person is going to be responsible when we stand before God for his or her own sin. We sometimes think, like Flip Wilson, "The devil made me do it." Who remembers Flip Wilson and "The Devil Made Me Do It"? He was famous for that saying. But, you know, we have this idea in our minds that when we stand before God, we're going to have an excuse for everything in our life. "It wasn't my fault, God. You don't understand my circumstances." "Well, I know I lost my time. I know I did this. I know I had a bad thought. I had to lie in my taxes, God, because I needed that extra money." And we have excuses. "Or it was my parents' fault. Or it was my wife's fault. Or it was my husband's fault. Or it was San Andreas' fault." Some of you might get that. It's probably not funny. But we are going to stand before God, and it's going to be our fault. We can't blame other people for provoking us or tempting us or being the cause or the reason. "Well, you know, the reason why I'm not in church anymore is someone else. The reason I'm not in church anymore is something else. Or the reason why I don't serve God anymore, or the reason that I don't do this, or the reason I do this, or the reason I did that, or the reason that I'm going to do something." We are all going to stand before God. And when we think about that, one time I asked him, I knew he was a Christian. So I asked him one Monday morning at work, I said, how was church yesterday? Did you get fed? What did God speak to you about? And he said, "No, I wasn't in church yesterday." I said, "How come? Are you sick or what's going on?" He says, "Oh, no." He says, "I haven't been to church for 20 years. And I said, "How come?" And he said, "Because there's too many hypocrites in church." He said, there's too many people that, you know, they got hurt. Or, you know, they're not perfect. Or whatever it may be. Well, I'll be the first one to admit, when I walk into a church, I'm just going to join the hypocrites. Amen. I'm one of them. And so, you know, it's like saying, you know, "I don't go to the hospital because there's too many sick people there." you can't blame anybody else for disobeying what God tells us we're supposed to be doing. And you're not going to find a church that doesn't have some hypocrites in it. And maybe if you join, you're going to be the hypocrite. And you're going to be that person. Because none of us are perfect, and none of us have arrived, and we're all trying to reach that same goal. Amen? We're trying to reach the same goal in life. And the cleansing that Jesus Christ has come to bring us, we should be different than the world. And when somebody has been cleansed from sin, they shouldn't look like I did when I came out of that dump truck or that cement truck. You know, we're going to walk through this world and we're going to pick up filth. We can't avoid it. And we're going to sin. The problem is, somebody said this, many people use mighty thin thread when they're mending their ways. John, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13, please. John chapter 13. And I think probably one of the greatest lessons that Jesus Christ is going to teach on this subject of cleansing. In John chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says there, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. The Bible says in verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter. And of course, only Peter would be the only one that would say this. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, and this is an interesting statement here. He said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, I know there's a lot of churches out there that practice a third ordinance. And that is foot washing. So this is their text verse or their verses for the practice of foot washing. Now, I just want everyone to know I am in favor of foot washing. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Amen. Stinky feet. Nobody wants stinky feet. Clean feet. But I'm not going to clean your feet. You clean your own feet. Okay. Now, I want to say this, first of all, or ask this. Did Peter know what Jesus was doing when he was washing his feet? Did Peter know what he was doing? Did he know that he was washing his feet? Am I saying that wrong? I thought it was pretty easy. Did Peter know what Jesus was doing when Jesus was washing his feet? Did he know that he was washing his feet? Yes. But Jesus said, what I'm doing, you don't know. So what Jesus was trying to teach was not foot washing, because Peter knew he was washing his feet. There's two lessons here. There's two lessons that Peter was trying to be taught and the disciples were trying to be taught by Jesus Christ. Now, the first one was humility. He was trying to teach them about humility. That, you know, here was Jesus Christ and he's coming up to Peter. And says, Peter, he's got a servant's towel over his arm. And he comes up to Peter and he says, I'm going to wash your feet. Peter's like, you're going to wash my feet, Lord? No, it's not going to happen. You're our master. We don't get washed by you. We wash you. There's something wrong here. And so he says a statement. Peter is a little still dumbfounded. He still doesn't know what Jesus is up to. The reasoning and the purpose. And so he talks, first of all, and the first lesson that he was trying to teach was this illustration about the cleansing of the blood of the Savior. He was trying to teach them about the cleansing of the blood of the Savior. And then he teaches them about humility. Look at verse 8. After Jesus said, you don't know what I'm doing, but after I'm done, and again, I'm paraphrasing here in verse 7, he says, you don't know what I'm doing now. You know I'm washing your feet, but you don't know what I'm doing now, but you will when I'm done. You're going to figure it out in a few minutes. And then Peter says to him in verse 8, thou shalt never wash my feet. There's no way, Lord, I am going to let you wash my feet. This is wrong. I should be washing your feet. And then Jesus made this statement. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, I could imagine a moment of silence here. As Peter is cogitating the words that Jesus just spoke, Peter was defiant. Peter was absolute. He said, you will never wash my feet. He didn't say, you know, you're probably not going to. He says, you'll never do it. You are not going to do it. And then Jesus said, listen, if you don't let me wash your feet, if I don't wash you, you have nothing to do with me ever again. And again, I can imagine that moment of silence there as Peter is thinking and the gears are turning and he's really considering the ramifications of what Jesus just said. If I am not washed by this man, I have no part with him. I'm out. And so Peter reacts to the statement in verse 9, and the Bible says, Peter saith on him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You want to talk about an about face. Amen. Peter goes from, you'll never wash my feet, to, Lord, not only my feet, but my head and my hands and everything. Scrub me clean from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Lord, I don't want to hear that alternative. I don't want to be banished. I don't want to be sent away. I want to be part of you. I want to be a Christian. I want fellowship with you. He says, listen, whatever you do it, I need it. And then he makes a spiritual application in verse 10. He said, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now the two words here, if you were to look in the original language for clean and washed, he that is washed save not to wash his feet. Those two words, washed and washed, are different words in the original language. And again, most people in the day would understand exactly what Jesus was saying here, but we don't have the same customs and manners as they did in Bible times. But in Bible times, most of you are probably aware of this, they didn't have indoor plumbing. You didn't have a bath and a shower in your house. And so you had to go down to a common spa or a bath. And they were called Oriental baths. And so if you wanted to go have a cleansing, you needed to go grab your towel, grab your bar of soap, head on down to the Oriental bath, and you would get in the pool, and you would scrub yourself clean, and you would be washed. And that's what Jesus said, those that are washed. And that would be a washed person. That's salvation. That's talking about that cleansing stream of the Lord Jesus Christ that washes us, cleanses us from all sin. But then he said that type of person, that person that's washed, need not but to wash his feet. A different word. And that word doesn't mean a cleansing from head to toe like Peter said. Listen, if that's what it takes, that's what you can do. This is just a rinsing or a small wash. And so those people, like I said, they understood what Jesus was saying. Those people that were at the bath, they would wash from head to toe, they would be squeaky clean, and they would put on their sandals, and they would walk home. And sometimes it was a mile, sometimes it was a half mile, sometimes it was a longer distance. And when they got home, guess who was there at the door to greet them? Their wife. And their wife would open the door and give them a kiss and say, I'm so glad you're coming, you're home. And he would go to step in and she would push him back and say, you're not coming in this house. Look at your feet. And he'd look down at his feet and she would say, you're washing those feet before you're coming in this house, because they're wearing their sandals and they're walking through the streets, the dirt streets. And they'd get home and their feet would be filthy. And so they would need that little bit of cleaning before Mama would let them come into the house. Now, I don't know if that's what happened, but you know the application. You know, as Christians, we've been cleansed. God has cleansed us, and we're clean vessels for God. But as we walk through this world, you know, we're, and you know, I will be the first one to tell you that, you know, there are times when I don't even realize it. All of a sudden, I'm doing things or thinking things that I know I shouldn't be. And it's like, wait a minute, I gotta straighten this up. Where am I getting this from? You know, where is that coming from, or whatever it may be. You get around the wrong crowd, and maybe something slips out, or the wrong language slips out, or the wrong thinking slips out, and you know, whatever it may be. Again, or you watch the wrong thing on television, and the next thing you know, you're getting a little bit of dirt. You're starting to accumulate a little bit of sin in your life, or maybe you've done the wrong thing, said the wrong thing, and so you need to go to God, and you get on your knees and say, God, I need some cleansing. I need that little washing of my feet today. God, would you help me to overcome, and would you help me to continue to be all that I can be for your glory and for your honor? The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm glad for that little word in there, all. Amen? All unrighteousness. And I'm going to say this. I've just got to throw in my little infomercial. You know, Jesus Christ's sacrifice is sufficient. Amen? We don't need to do penance. We don't need to go and confess our sins to a man in order for him to forgive us our sins. You know, we don't have to go to Mary. We don't have to walk up 30 flights of stairs on our knees in order to pay for our own sins, because the blood of Jesus Christ didn't cleanse us from quite all of our sins, and we need to do something ourselves to take care of some of our sins. I just want you to know this morning that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen? All sin. The price has been paid. You know, when I came home and I had everything all over me, and cement and dirt and dust and sticks, and my mom got four or five different things out to start hammering off that cement, and cleansers and scrub brushes and detergents, and the only thing that's going to get us clean is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else needed. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. You know, when we're saved, we should look like, I really don't want to say this because it goes against my grain, but we should look like the cat. Don't act like the cat, just be, you know, that dog that comes out with all that garbage all over him, the filth of the world, and all of that carry on over there, we shouldn't look like that. We're cleansed. Amen? And the cleansing is not only the removal of the penalty of sin, but God is, by the way, in the business of changing lives. Amen? He's in the business of changing lives. And we praise God for the glorious, wonderful grace that Jesus Christ has bestowed upon each one of us. A soap manufacturer and a pastor were walking together down the street of a large city, and the soap manufacturer casually said, "The gospel you preach hasn't done much good, has it? Just observe, there are a lot of wicked things in this world, and a lot of wicked people too." And the pastor made no reply until they passed a dirty little child making mud pies in the gutter. Seizing the opportunity, the pastor said, "I see that soap hasn't done much good in the world either. For there is much dirt and many dirty people around." And the soap man replied, "Oh, well, soap is only useful when it's applied." And the pastor said, "Exactly, and so it is with the gospel. It needs to be applied." You know, it's one thing to know, but it's another thing to act. God wants to apply the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ to your life today. You need to be clean. Sin destroys. We sometimes we just look at dirt as dirt and filth as filth. We had a I don't know where it came from. I think I do. But we had a battery a car battery that fell over, and it fell over in the trunk of our car, and we didn't have a lockdown or anything, fire department, and there was battery acid ruined the back seat of the car. And somehow it got somewhere. I cleaned the car out. I got vinegar, poured vinegar, bottles of vinegar all over the place, neutralized the acid, did everything I was supposed to do, baking soda and, you know, all that stuff. Not together, you'd have a pretty big foamy mess, but did what I was supposed to do. And but there was battery acid somewhere. And I would I'd go down to the store and buy another pair of jeans because I had to replace those jeans because the jeans that I was wearing the day before had a big, right across here, they had a big hole in them. The material was gone. And so I go down to the store and I had no idea what was going on. Why right across there? Like just under waist level is all of my jeans getting ruined. So I bought another pair of jeans. Some people would pay more money for those jeans. I throw them in the garbage though. And I put another brand new pair of jeans on. A couple days later, I go look, and I've got holes in my jeans. And I go buy another pair of jeans. And so I had no idea. Something I was leaning on, I don't know if it was my workbench, and it didn't happen every day, but it was happening constantly. So I scrubbed my workbench. I did everything I could where I thought this stuff was coming from. And it was destroying my clothes. And I finally figured out it was probably the battery acid that was eating away. I was getting it on my way somewhere. Sin is destructive. Dirt, filth, grime. And like I said, even that day when I got all that cement all over me, cement is very acidy and it's not good stuff. And it ruined some of my clothing. And sin is destructive in our lives, and that's, you know, we've got to understand that God doesn't say sin is just, you know, bad because he, you know, thinks it, you know, well, he doesn't just sit there with a little sin is destruction. It's everything that is sinful is wrong. It's bad for you. And God doesn't try to, you know, in his eternity in heaven get bored and say, you know what, I'm going to try and make man's life as miserable as possible and give him all these don'ts. You know, don't do this, don't have fun, don't have a good time. You know, that's what God just sits around and tries to make our life miserable. You know, he's trying to make our life better. Amen. He wants us to be clean. Sin will destroy. There was a doctor, most of us have probably never heard of him before. He lived about 200 years ago. His name was Ignaz Philip Semmelweis. I believe I'm pronouncing that somewhat correctly. He was born in 1818, and he was born into a world of dying women. The finest hospitals in the world at the time lost, listen to this, 1 out of 6 young mothers to the scourge of childbed fever. A doctor's daily routine began in the dissecting room where they performed autopsies. And from there, they made their way to the hospital to examine expectant mothers without ever pausing to wash their hands. Dr. Semmelweis was the first man in history to associate such examinations with the resulting infections and death. His own practice was to wash with a chlorine solution. And after, listen to this, 11 years and the delivery of 8,537 babies, he lost only 184 mothers, and that's about 1 in 50 compared to 1 in 6. When he began to wash his hands. He spent the vigor of his life lecturing and debating with his colleagues. And once again, puerperal fever is caused by decomposed material conveyed to the wound. And he said this, "I've shown how it can be prevented. I have proved all that I have said. But while we talk, gentlemen, women are dying. I'm not asking you, he said, to do anything world-shaking. He said, I'm simply asking you to wash your hands. But virtually nobody believed him. Doctors and midwives have been delivering babies for thousands of years without washing their hands, and no outspoken Hungarian was going to charge them or change them now. Semmelweis died insane at the age of 47 years old. His wash basin had been discarded. His colleagues laughing in his face, and the death rattle of thousands of women ringing in his ears. Sin, if it's not cleansed, will ultimately bring forth death. Are you cleansed this morning? Have you been washed in the precious fountain? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light, He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are you cleansed? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the cleansing fountain, the blood of the Lamb that washes us from the spots of sin and the filth of this world and gives us a new lease on life, that our sins are forgiven and that we're on our way to heaven and we can stand before God clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we will stand before Him as clean vessels. But Lord, every day the world is leaving its marks on us. And we need your help today. We need your cleansing and we need your forgiveness. My prayer this morning is that if there's a Christian here today that's maybe not been regularly practicing the cleansing of the sins of this world that cling to us so easily, that today they might make a decision to walk clean. And I pray if there's somebody here that does not know Jesus Christ, they've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's no better place to make that decision than right here. And I pray, God, if there's somebody that doesn't know you, either up here or downstairs, I pray that that decision would be made. The cleansing would take place. It would be applied. The soap would be applied today. With everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around this morning, could you, with an upraised hand, could you say, Pastor McSwiggin, I know that I've been cleansed. I know that I've been saved. My sins are forgiven. Amen. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Would you be here this morning? And again, we're not going to call you out or embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. God has spoken to you, and you know you need to do something about it. We'll give you an opportunity. But would you be here this morning and say, you know, I've been trying to pretend. I've been trying to avoid it. I've been trying to put it out of my mind. But I know today that if I was to stand before God, I would stand with my sins. I've never been cleansed. I need to be saved, and I'm concerned. Would you pray for me? Would you just quickly slip your hand up? Say, Pastor, pray for me. Would you be here then as a Christian and say, Pastor, you know, I've not really been concerned about picking up the filth of this world. I've not been concerned about being clean and being used of God, and this morning I want to just commit to making that cleansing, that cleaning, that washing a regular practice in my life. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Amen. Again, the altar's open. We'll stand together. If you need to be saved, you just come forward. We'll have somebody take the Bible, show you how to be saved. Let's stand to our feet.